Track 2, News. Hello and welcome to Black Country Talking News. It's Wednesday, the 7th of November 2018, and today in the studio we have Martin and John as the sound engineers, myself, Brian, Sue and Phil. And without more ado, Sue will start us off with the news.
A standby power plant could be built in Wolverhampton to cater for periods of increased demand. The gas standby facility would be southeast of Dixon Street and would take 6 to 9 months to be built if the plans are accepted by Wolverhampton City Council. Applicant SWB has applied for the plant, which could be in place for 25 years. Agent Bethany Kington says in the application, the engines will be switched on when called upon by the grid and will provide a standby energy facility during times when energy demand outstrips supply. The facility would only operate when called upon to contribute to balancing frequency on the grid and reducing blackouts. At this grand scale, standby power facilities are important for providing the electricity network with power and energy at short notice to help match supply with demand. The application site is located on undeveloped land within an industrial area about 1.8 kilometres southeast of Wolverhampton city centre. The proposal would contribute to achieving national and local objectives by supporting the transition to renewable energy. Small-scale, fast-responding facilities such as that proposed can enable the national electricity system to meet demand without the need for new large-scale power-generating facilities, which can have much greater environmental and social impacts. If approved, construction would be restricted to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays. Sunday working hours will be agreed if required. Operational hours of the generators are expected to be about 2,500 hours a year. If approved, the facility will be managed remotely once operational, so no staff will be based at the site. The application will be considered by Wolverhampton City Council in the coming months.
Stourbridge war heroes are being remembered after a town history fan painstakingly researched the lives and the service history of 54 men from the Old Quarter who made the ultimate sacrifice. Old Quarter resident Carl Jones has devoted the last 6 months to finding out about the brave servicemen who lived in the area and went off to fight for their country during the First World War. Mr. Jones came up with the idea for the window on World War I project when he started thinking about whether anyone who lost their life in the war could have lived in his own house in Western Road. He said, I have a keen interest for local history, and with the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I approaching, I was really interested to research the lives of local men who had lived in the houses we live in today and went off to war. I focused my research on the Old Quarter, as this is where I call home. Many of the streets are unchanged, and it doesn't take much imagination to visualise the streets as the men would have seen them in researching all 54 men. I was amazed at how much information was available. Suddenly they became real people who had lived in our houses, and I wanted to do all I could to honour them as part of the 100th anniversary. Although Mr. Jones did not find a fallen hero linked to his own house, he did discover that a young man who lived across the street was killed at the age of 19, just before the armistice. More details about him and the other 53 men Mr. Jones researched can be found online at https://// Carlos Fandango, spelt KARLOSFANDANGO, dot Wixsite, which is spelt WIXSITE, .com/OQWW1. As part of the project, Mr. Jones enlisted the help of Borough artist Steve Field, who has designed a poster to be placed in the windows of the homes where the men lived, or where that's not possible, in homes nearby, to commemorate the war efforts of the brave soldiers as part of the 100th anniversary. and share their stories with residents in the area. Mr. Jones said most of the posters have now been distributed and the remainder will be out in the next few days. I would like to thank all the local residents who are supporting this project and agreed to place a sign in their window in honour of our local heroes. His project has even received praise from the Mayor of Dudley, Councillor Alan Taylor, who said, "I would like to commend Carl in his efforts to honour some of the local men who went off to fight the war. Their bravery should be remembered, and Carl has done a wonderful job to ensure this is the case for future generations. People can come and pay their respects to all those who have lost their lives in war at our annual Remembrance Sunday service, which this year falls on the exact day that marks 100 years since the war came to an end."
An NHS specialist uses cheap, accessible and robust materials to change the lives of amputees in countries affected by natural disasters or war. For the past 13 years, surgeon Vikar Qureshi has offered people in countries hit by natural disaster or war a lifeline. He has transformed their futures by fitting them with artificial legs made from plastic drain pipes. Now, the trauma and orthopaedic specialist at Russell's Hall Hospital in Dudley has helped a young mother thousands of miles away who lost both her hands in a vicious attack. He fitted the 22-year-old woman in Jamaica with new hands, allowing her to hold and feed her baby daughter and, hopefully, return to work. And the achievement was made even more remarkable by the fact that he made the artificial hands without meeting her in person. Working around the time differences, we spent plenty of time on video calls getting her exact measurements, said Mr. Qureshi, who's worked for the Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust for 27 years and has his own charity, the Naya Quadam Trust. He began the project following the earthquake in Pakistan in 2005. "That changed my life," he said. "I took a team of doctors out there, but we couldn't do what we wanted because we had no theatre, no power supply, and so on. All we could do was amputate, although that was life-saving. With artificial limbs in the Western world costing up to £1,700 and lasting only 2 or 3 years, a simpler and cheaper solution was needed. Mr. Qureshi's answer was to make artificial legs from drain pipes, which are melted and moulded locally to fit the amputee. His charity, Naya Quadam, which means first steps in Urdu, then trains local teams in the techniques so amputees can have a lifetime supply of limbs, and it also benefits the local economy. The surgeon has just been back to Pakistan to work with 102 people needing prosthetic legs, and with awareness of his work growing, he looks set to continue using his expertise to change the lives of people across the world.
Sandwell Council has been rated fourth in the country in dealing with bed blocking at hospitals. The council's work dealing with delayed transfers of care, which occurs when a patient is ready to leave hospital but is still occupying a bed, makes it one of the best achievers in the country. Latest national figures on dealing with these bed-blocking problems show Sandwell has the best record in the West Midlands and is rated fourth in the country out of 174 local authorities. Targets are set by NHS England, and Sandwell was the only region in the West Midlands to better the target set and reduce the amounts of delays facing patients. Councillor Anne Shackleton, Cabinet Member for Social Care and Chairwoman of the Sandwell Health and Wellbeing Board, said, "We are delighted to be so highly rated for this service, but we are still ambitious to reduce these figures to ensure patients can be discharged as soon as they are medically fit to do so. We are working on several schemes, including the launch of an integrated social care and health hub in November at Ling in West Bromwich, in a bid to continue to bridge the gap between health and social care. We are also starting a red bag scheme, which the red bag scheme helps care home residents by improving communication between care homes and hospitals. When a resident becomes unwell and is assessed as needing hospital care, care home staff pack a red bag that includes the resident's paperwork and the medication, as well as day of discharge clothes and other personal items. It facilitates a smoother handover between care home, ambulance and hospital staff, with fewer phone calls and follow-ups made by the hospital staff to care homes looking for health information about the resident. Soundwell Council works with NHS partners, including Soundwell and West Birmingham NHS Hospitals Trust and Soundwell and West Birmingham Clinical Commissioning Group, and community partners to reduce delayed transfers of care.
A congestion-busting plan to revamp Birchley Island and revamp Dudley Bus Station have been backed with a multi-million pound boost. Plans for major changes to Birchley Island roundabout have moved a step closer after a £7.4 million funding pledge. It came as bosses prepared to sign off funding for £43 million worth of transport schemes around the region, which also includes £10 million for the Dudley Interchange to link the town's bus station with the upcoming Metro line. The Hamburger Island will see a new road pass through the middle of it to ease congestion. Sandwell Council has pushed for improvements to Birchley Island for years. The project gained traction in June when the authority secured £16.1 million towards the scheme from the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership. The roundabout is one of the most congested spots in the region and has been the scene of 32 serious accidents over the last 5 years. The changes will create a new road passing through the island to ease congestion. West Midlands Mayor Andy Street said, "I know Birchley Island has been a major challenge for commuters, particularly those travelling between the Black Country and Birmingham, with peak times particularly bad for the motorists. In my manifesto, I promised I would help find the funding for the improvements we need. The Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership and Sandwell Council deserve a huge credit for getting this scheme to this stage after many years of needing it. The Birchley Island scheme is likely to start after repair work to the M5 between junctions 1 and 2 is completed. The delayed project is scheduled to end in spring. The cash forms part of the government-backed Transforming Cities Fund, which handed the combined authority an initial £250 million to boost transport. The Wensbury to Briley Hill Metro scheme is costing £207 million, with other projects in the works including £3 million on a new transport coordination centre and real-time updates, £6 million on a cycling scheme and £2 million on highways.
A former takeaway owner has been fined almost £3,000 for hygiene offences. Route 66 Roadhouse Limited, which ran Roadhouse on Starbridge Road, pleaded guilty to 5 offences at court. Environmental health officers visited the takeaway in May 2017 and found issues had not been improved from an earlier visit. Dudley Magistrates Court heard. During the previous visit, inspectors found staff were not trained in food hygiene principles and did not have procedures in place to keep food safe. The inspectors gave the takeaway a 1-star rating and served the owner notices telling them to train staff and repair a damaged ceiling, but these had not been met in the follow-up May visit. At court in Dudley on the 24th of October, the takeaway owner pleaded guilty to 5 offences under the food hygiene regulations, including 2 for failing to comply with improvement notices.
A primary school needs trees, plants and gardening expertise as part of its pupils' quest to build a garden of dreams in memory of their famous ex-student footballing hero, Duncan Edwards. The Priory Primary School on the Priory Estate in Dudley plans to transform the derelict, unused space into a nature and peace haven, where its pupils can study, grow their own plants and have a quiet space to remember lost loved ones. The project is being led by headteacher Jill Craig and Rose Monk from the Duncan Edwards Foundation. Rose, who has recently become a governor at the Limes Road site, said, "We have lots of exciting projects with the school, and this one we are really looking forward to. It already is a peace haven, but we want to make it into a place where the children can really relax, feel calm and enjoy the nature around them." The site had previously been a garden before falling into disrepair many years ago. Jill Craig, head teacher with the Hales Valley Trust, was herself a pupil at the school and has fond memories of using the garden as a child, she said. I have wonderful memories of sitting under the tree reading stories when I was a pupil here, and I would love to give the children now the same opportunity to sit out in the sunshine and enjoy the trees and plants that they have helped to plant and grow. We are working very closely with Rose and the Foundation. The children are so proud of our association with Duncan, and they are all excited at our plans. The project is being backed by the Edwards family, Dusky Edwards, second cousin to the young Busby babe who died from his injuries in the 1958 Munich air crash, is thrilled that the school still remembers her beloved cousin. Dusky, a trustee of the foundation, said, "To be part of the official tribute and foundation to my cousin is an honour in itself, but to be able to help the community in other ways is fantastic." Last November, pupils at the school were given a history lesson on Duncan and the Busy Babes ahead of the 60th anniversary of the Munich air disaster. Anyone wishing to donate to the project can contact Jill Craig at Priory Primary School on 01384 816845 or Rose at the Duncan Edwards Foundation on 07701 092994.
Councillor Peter Lowe has decided to quit the role to concentrate on other political priorities and his day job as National Trade Union Officer for Managers in partnership with the NHS. Mr Lowe became council leader for the second time in September when Labour regained control of the authority from the Conservatives. Mr Lowe, who played a key role in creating the Black Country Festival, said, "Over the past few months I have enjoyed returning to the role of leader of the council. However, in many ways, it's the right job but at the wrong time for me. I am still committed to representing the Lion Stourbridge North Ward, but personally I have other political priorities mounting up, as well as professional commitments, so I have decided it is time for me to step aside. I am passionate about the people, community groups and businesses of the Dudley Borough, and I am not comfortable unless I can give my all to them." Councillor Lowe was deputy leader from 2013 to 2014 and leader from December 2014 until May 2017, before resuming the role in September this year. A formal replacement for Councillor Lowe as leader will be made at a future meeting of the full council. It is understood that senior figures in the regional Labour Party are backing current finance boss Councillor Quidar Zada for the role.
Dudley Council has suspended one of its officers over allegations that he posted anti-Semitic material on Facebook. Paul Johnson, an antisocial behaviour officer at the authority, has been accused of violating the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, that's the IHRA, definition of anti-Semitism with a post describing Israel as a racist endeavour. It refers to a protest outside Dudley North Labour MP Ian Austin's constituency office on October the 6th, where placard-waving activists demonstrated against Israel's murderous occupation of Palestine. The council, which signed up to the full IHRA definition last year, acted following an official complaint from the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. Bosses ordered Mr Johnson to stop attending work while an investigation is ongoing. Mr Johnson attended the protest outside Ian Austin's constituency office, which featured in his Facebook post. Dudley Council's chief executive, Sarah Norman, said, "We have received a complaint and are investigating it." Mr Johnson, who attended the demonstration. Stephen Silverman, the Director of Investigations and Enforcement at Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, has called Mr Johnson to be sacked from Dudley Council. He said, "Mr Johnson seems to be intent on baiting the Jewish community by breaching the international definition of anti-Semitism." After the protest, Birmingham Palestine Action Group said, "We must continue to call out all those people in power who remain silent while Israel continues its murderous occupation of Palestine." It was made clear to Ian that his unconditional support for Israel and silence regarding the consistent violation of Palestinians' human rights will no longer go unchallenged. And with that item from myself, we will bring this week's news to an end. So it's goodbye from Brian.
It's goodbye from Sue.
And goodbye from Phil.